Chuck.
We talking about
Charleston.
The Charleston Battery.
Yeah, it's the Chucktown Check-In. I am Eric Quintana, and alongside me, per usual, the Sea Moose himself, Seamus Grady. Seamus, we're going to gloss over the first game against the Rochester Rhinos simply because I want to focus on the positives. I want to be in my happy place when I talk about Charleston Battery. You know, we can do a quick takeaway, and then we talk about the main story. That's it. What were your thoughts initially?
It's just it was a weird, ugly game. It's so weird for two teams that are supposed to be the top defenses in USL. You got 5 goals scored between them.
Yeah,
that's crazy. But it was a rough night. Just a bad performance defensively, and really just moving. They went back to not being able to work the ball around. Mm-hmm. Resulting to the long ball and just a rough night.
Battery lost 3-2 to the Rhinos on Friday, and that sent social media ablaze, specifically over the performance of one Alex Tambakis. Mo Moyer, head of which supporters group is he head of again?
That would be QAR. It's the other supporters group down in Charleston. You got the big two. You got the Regiment and QAR. So he's a guy that for a long time was pretty much the leader down there in Section E1, the supporter section at MUSC Health Stadium. He moved back up to Maryland, so he's been doing his supporting from afar this year. But yeah, he's got some great insight on the Battery, and he definitely had some opinions on the whole goalkeeping situation as to who should be starting between the sticks.
He definitely did. He tweeted out after the match, "Tambakis has quality, but tonight shows why he isn't already on an MLS roster." And he went on to say, Cooper, in terms of, I think, the first goal, Cooper makes that save. Tambakis might play for Atlanta United next year, but right now he should be on the bench for Charleston Battery. And I think that was the general consensus of most people watching that game. They've seen the last 2 games and just think, wow, 6 goals in 2 games, that's just not good. So, I mean, you can't – I don't know. I'll argue that the first 3 that he let in, I forget who it was against, but the first 3 that he let in, totally the fault of the defense. But the last 3, I mean, besides the PK, it's either a breakdown in communication or you don't have to lift yourself off the ground, you don't have to dive necessarily, or errors like not punching all the way through the ball and seeming a little timid. It could be that, he isn't back to 100%. Remember, we had him on and he mentioned that he had a knee injury, and that's why he sat out the next game after giving up those 3 goals, and he missed the next 2 starts. Maybe he's not 100%, but do you think he has to, I guess, reprove? Because I remember all the talk during the preseason about how, what a talent he was. And I'm wondering if he now has a reprove in training that, he deserves that number 1 spot.
But I definitely stand by what I said last week. I think as far as fundamental goes, raw talent, and the kind of training he's received, I think I still give the edge over Cooper to Alex. So, like you said, that first rough patch with the first few goals let in in the previous matches, I put that more on the back line. Mm. The back line for Charleston's been very inconsistent. We talked about that coming into the season, that's the anchor of the team. And that just hasn't been the case so far. It's been a hit or miss at best every week. But the performance in Rochester, though, I would definitely put a lot more responsibility on the back of Alex. That first goal that came in, he got caught chasing the ball, got caught out of position, let the Rochester striker ride in behind him for an easy goal. So it was a rough night for him. Looking forward, Cooper, after seeing how well Cooper performed against Harrisburg, I think you definitely gave him the nod going forward. And I would say Alex definitely has to work his way back into that starting goalkeeper position.
I wouldn't say that it's again, it's not that he's a bad goalkeeper or anything like that. Again, I maybe he's just not 100%, or maybe he just hasn't gotten accustomed to being the regular starter. You know, you just go back and watch some of his highlights, and you know he's better than what we've seen. We definitely haven't seen the best of Tam Bacchus. And hopefully, I don't think so, but hopefully it's not the last we see of him. I don't think so. I think regardless, you can't go one keeper the rest of the season. But Cooper, I will give Cooper this credit. He does look more menacing in goal. He looks like a guy you don't want to try to battle a ball for. Tam Bacchus still, he looks a little scrawny. Maybe needs to spend some time in the weight room. But that's what I like about a goalkeeper is the menacing, you know, kind of feel that you have back there, knowing that if it came down to a shoulder to shoulder, Cooper's going to win. You don't necessarily know that with Alex. And maybe that's part of what happened, especially with that first goal going up and trying to punch through that ball in the corner or on the free kick. But you know, we haven't talked to him since, so we won't know for sure. Our Greek friends had some exceptions to the recap article you wrote for Dirty South Soccer, Seamus. Our man Stelios from Greece, he said in your key takeaways comment, you were wondering if Tam Bacchus is the right guy starting. You guys must have a little patience and wait to see him in a number of games being tested before you have a quick verdict. We are following his games here in Greece and as much as we can. Yesterday, although very difficult, we were able to watch from, and apart from the first goal, which he says definitely his miscalculation, he had a good game and he's even better during the second half with good positioning and some good saves. You can't come up with the final opinion from one mistake and one goal. You know, all the rest of the goals he's given up since the first game were not his fault. Even the second goal yesterday, he blocked the first attempt nicely and even partially blocked the rebound. He goes on to say soccer's a marathon and, you know, games and you make mistakes and, you know, even the best goalkeepers make mistakes on the largest scales. This doesn't mean you shouldn't lose your position every time this occurs. And then he goes, yeah, this is just our opinion. And he goes, one of the best qualities about a goalkeeper is his ability to bounce back after letting in a goal like that. And I completely agree. I think that for us to judge Tam Bacchus on these two bad performances alone, definitely not fair to him, especially with everything we've heard coming into first signing with Atlanta United, then, you know, being loaned out to Charleston. It would not be fair to him if we judged him based off these two performances alone.
Yeah, and I agree 100% with what Stelia said. When I was writing my recap, you know, I think he took it as more of me saying that I was questioning. I think what I was trying to say is that, you know, it's brought up the questions in the fan base. You know, the Battery supporters were already a little weary to the fact that Alex was starting. That's just simply because Cooper's a fan favorite down in Charleston. Mm-hmm. He's been one of the leaders on the team. So I think a lot of the hardcore Battery supporters were maybe a little, you know, weary to get behind Alex. And I mean, early on, he looked solid. He wasn't tested, but I mean, yeah, he made some good saves. And I agree 100% that, like, really, when it comes down to it, I would still give Alex the edge over Cooper. That doesn't necessarily mean I think he needs to start right now. But if you look at just the intangibles, like stuff, like, you can definitely tell that just looking at Tam Bacchus, looking at his technique, looking at his footwork, that he came up in a top, right, you know, UEFA academy.
Right.
And that definitely gives him an advantage over a guy like Cooper who grew up in Cuba. And that shows on the field. But for everything that Tam Bacchus has, as far as, you know, the fundamentals, the technique, like you said, Cooper kind of makes up for it with that fire, that grit and determination. And that just comes with experience, you know? So I think once Alex gets that under his belt, once he gets that grit, that, you know, being mean between the sticks and just getting that experience, I think he will definitely be a great keeper. He already is. He's got a lot of talent, but he's got to get that experience under his belt. So we'll see what happens. I don't think this is the last we've seen of Alex. For one, I'm not sure what the situation is right now. I know in previous seasons, being a Cuban defector, Cooper can't travel to Canada. He can't leave the country.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that's
So
still the
at the
case.
very least, we would see Alex play in Montreal and
Right.
Toronto. So, but I think he'll get starts other than that. I mean, whether it's, in the cup, or I'm sure he'll get starts in the regular season games too.
Yeah, no.
It's not the last we've seen of
Yeah,
Alex,
no,
so.
definitely don't want to discount the rest of the season when it comes to Tambacus. So one thing I missed earlier that I wanted to hit on, Aaron from Maryland, checked us or hooked up with us on the Wave account on the Wave app. Again, if you haven't heard of this, this is the basically the audio Twitter, if you will, where you send us a little audio snippet up to 60 seconds, and we'll play it on the air like we're gonna play Aaron's right now.
Hey, this is Aaron. I've been a Battery supporter for a few years now, and last night was sitting on my couch up here in Maryland watching the Battery take on the Rochester Rhinos on ESPN3. And needless to say, I was disappointed in the team's performance. It was nice to see Garbanzo get on the score sheet, and of course Williams had a real nice finish there in the first half, but it's difficult to win when your team's on the road and you're pretty much just playing kick and run against a stout defense like the Rhinos. But don't put it all on them. I felt that Tambakis had a really rough game, came out and wasn't real strong on the first goal, second goal, no reason for him to leave his feet, and just really would have liked to seen Cooper back in the goal and hopefully see some changes and 3 points for our next game on Monday night against Harrisburg.
He obviously brings up Tambacus there, and we're only 8 games into the season, so let's not be too hasty. But I'll reiterate that from everything we've seen in training, he's impressed. So I'll stick with that, and again, we'll see how the rest of the season pans out. And again, I think the last we can say on this is let's not judge Tambacus on 2 games alone. We are 8 games into the season. Let's it's a long season. We're not even a quarter of the way through. So let's get through that first.
Yeah, and I mean, I gotta think, with the experience we have in our coaching staff, with Mike Anheuser, Dusty Hudak, who's probably, one of, if not the best keeper coaches in the league, had a great career himself. I gotta think that they chose Alex for a reason. They
Yeah.
have way more soccer knowledge than I will ever have in my life. So they obviously saw something in him. I think it's just it's taken a little while for the Charleston fans to warm up to him. We actually took a poll after that Rochester match to see who everybody thinks should be starting in goal for the Battery, and we had 70% chose Cooper over Tambakis,
And that makes, I mean,
which
that makes
yeah.
sense, right? Directly after a match like that, where he is
Exactly.
probably at fault for at least one of the goals, that's going to happen. I mean, anywhere you see that, not to discount the poll, but or discredit the poll, but anywhere you see, a player give up, make a major mistake, or yeah, I would say a major mistake like that, you're going to see people that are just like, no, get him out of there. I mean, that's in any sport.
Yeah, he's a young player though, so like Stelio said, you can't judge off of that one performance. I'm certainly not. I think he's a great talent, and I think he's going to go on to do big things here in Charleston for the rest of the season and beyond that in Atlanta. So yeah, I mean, I would definitely not knock Alex for that experience. That's one of the bump in the roads that happen
Yeah,
for a young player who's coming into his
exactly.
first starting
Yep.
role.
Well, with that, let's move on to, happier times. And, I think we got to start with some audio from one of our fans.
How about the Savage go-ahead goal from Austin Savage? Charleston Battery getting a great win, exciting game, and that penalty kick situation at the end, I didn't see the foul, but kudos to the Battery for locking down some damn good defense last 8 to 10 minutes and getting out of there with a win. We'll be excited to hear the breakdown from the Chucktown check-in guys and the Dirty South soccer crew.
Boom, got the shout out and everything. Charleston Battery take down Harrisburg City Islanders in dramatic fashion, 3-2. Man, that first goal in this game was absolutely beautiful. 24th minute, Michael Chang hits a long pass from Mario Williams in the box, and with one cup inside, back towards goal, I guess, just blasts it over the keeper's head. And I think that's the first time we saw the technical skill of Romario Williams since maybe his first goal of the year.
Oh yeah, and I think really in the past 2 matches, it looks like we've been We've been having some criticism for Williams. You know, he's been struggling getting his shots in the net, but I mean the past two matches, he looks like he's maybe starting to find his groove a little bit. And yeah, that ball work when he came into the box and just stopped and put the ball right in the net, and that service from Chang,
Oh, it was
you know, that's
beautiful.
you know, oh, man. Like I know we're just talking about the battery playing the long ball too much, but in that case, yeah,
Yeah, that
definitely
worked out.
worked out for sure. And that's just that's one of the things battery fans have been accustomed to watching Chang come up the past few years as a player, and he's got a lot of skill putting the ball in and getting a good service like that. That was just an absolutely amazing ball in, and an even better finish by Williams.
I'll tell you what, I would not want to have been standing in front of that shot when he shot that, because it looked like it could have ripped the
No.
hole in the net. That's how
Yeah.
hard he hit that ball. That lead did not last too long. 2 minutes later, Cooper lets a shot go straight through the five hole to make it 1-1. Jose Barril, I believe is how you pronounce his name, with the through ball to Paul Wilson for the goal. Defensively, what do you think happened there, Seamus?
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened there. It's just like Cooper let it get right between the wickets there, and it just looked like a breakdown on defense. You know, it looks like they got a breakaway off the counter, got behind our back line. It just looked like Ferguson Mueller. I think they came through Woodbine's side. It just looked like they were caught off guard. They didn't expect them to counter that fast. Got behind him. Cooper wasn't ready for the shot, and right through the wickets into the back of the net.
One thing I love is that I think this is the first time that the Battery retook the lead three different times in the match this season.
On the road, too.
Yeah, exactly.
On the
On the
road. Yeah.
road, 1-1 right before half. Chang hits a free kick toward the back post to shut this one. I loved Sean Ferguson to
Absolutely
Forrest
beautiful.
Lasso, and it was, I don't know if it was kind of scripted that way, but if it wasn't, it was a beautiful soccer being played. Free kick from basically right outside the 18-yard box to the back post. Sean Ferguson hits it with heads it right back to the top of the six to Lasso, who puts it in the back of the net, and 2-1 going into halftime. Again, I did not, I loved seeing that. And they didn't celebrate too much. They were like, let's get this done. This is business to us. At least that's
Yeah,
what I
all
got out of
business.
it. Because it was great to see them come back and keep fighting. And because they go down again 2-2, and then they have to fight to get that one back too. So it's a great to see that fight from Charleston.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely got to give some credit to Marini in there for what
He drew the foul.
yeah, he drew the foul on, and what we originally thought was a penalty kick. It was right on the line, on the edge of the box, but drew the free kick, and Chang put it in there. At first, it looked like he put it a little too long. Sean Ferguson got ahead on it, saved the free kick, headed it over there to Forrest Lasso. It's good to see him back and healthy. He's definitely a guy that's valuable to come off the bench. Got the start today over or got the start on Monday over Taylor Mueller, who's been having a great season, and put that perfect flicking header right there into the net. It's good to see him back for sure.
Most definitely. Second half, another through ball for the Islanders that is ultimately chipped over Odisnell Cooper at the top of the box. It's a good piece of skill from the Islanders, but again, it's that second through ball that leads to a goal. It's just kind of weird that we're getting scored on the same ways every week, it seems like.
Yeah, and that really harps back on the inconsistent play by the back line, which is that's the one thing coming into the season we thought we weren't going to have to worry about. And we were a little more worried about putting goals in the net, trying to replace Dane Kelly, who was our top scorer last year, heading out to Swope Park Rangers. That's what I really thought the story of the year would be, is trying to find a replacement goal scorer for him. But I mean, it has been. We still have been trying to figure out the right combo at forward, but I really didn't think we'd have to be worrying about the defense like we have been. It's just been very inconsistent play by them.
Every Battery fan's favorite moment in the 80th minute, Austin Savage, the local boy, subbed in for Mario Williams, perfect free kick by Justin Portillo that really connected with the streaking Savage, and a beautiful volley into the back of the net, the go-ahead goal for the first away win for the Battery. Seamus, you're a local guy. How awesome is it that one of your own, you know, could pull something like that off?
Oh, man, that's something that Battery fans have been waiting for a long time for. You know, yeah, Austin usually comes in there late in the games, and, you know,
the super sub.
We were just waiting for the super sub for sure, and, you know, just put it in, representing the 843, the guy straight out of Stratford High School and Clemson University. You know, it's great to see the local guy come in and be the hero late in the game, for sure.
And then there's the final moments of the game where I don't think I saw anything resembling a foul in the box. I think it was ultimately called on Sean Ferguson, who slid what looked like off camera, but there was, for as much as we could see, unless there was something out of bounds, there was nothing that I would have called a PK ever in any league for any reason. Thankfully, karma on the Battery side as Craig Foster, you know, just crushes it over the bar, you know, can't reclaim the or can't draw with the Battery to end the game. 3-2 win for the Battery. And, you know, I love that Cooper just immediately got in the face of the ref and he got yellow carded for it, but immediately got in the face of the ref to dispute the call. And I'm guessing thankful that it didn't go in or nothing resulted of it. But you got to love the tenacity and the excitement from someone like that.
Yeah, it goes right back to what you were talking about before, you know, having that mean guy in goal, you know, with that fire. I'll take that yellow card any day.
Yeah,
you know, I love seeing the fire, you know, standing up for his team, letting the ref know what he thought about it. Yeah, because that was just a terrible, terrible call. And, you know, it would have been very unfortunate to see, you know, that late heroics by Savage get erased by a bad call, literally in the last seconds of the match. So the football gods were on the Battery side on Monday night.
Yeah.
So definitely fortunate that he whiffed that kick for sure.
We got a recap from Aaron on the night on our Wave app. All, you know, again, I'm brought to you by the Wave app. That gives you a chance to connect with us directly. And so here's what he had to say.
Huge 3 points for the Batteries. They pick up their first road win of the season and 3 valuable points against Harrisburg tonight. And, of course, a huge, huge goal for Charleston's own Austin Savage as he comes in as the super sub and puts it in the back of the net, which, of course, came after Lazo's goal and Williams' beautiful goal, which was, again, another beautiful ball by Michael Chang as well. So great game all around. Loved seeing them play with the ball on the ground instead of just going through the air. Cooper looked great. He did get beat through the legs in the first half, but kind of came back and really had a nice presence in the air. And it was also nice to see Bobby and Phil as well, which if you don't know Bobby and Phil, if you ever go to Charleston, they'll meet you, or if you go to any of their away games, they'll be there as well. So great game for the Battery. Can't wait for next Saturday night. It's going to be another good one in Charleston.
So again, that was Aaron, Aaron from Maryland. And again, if you want to reach out to us via the Wave app, it's a simple app. You can follow him on Twitter at GetWave, I believe is the Twitter handle. I don't have it in front of me right now, but I believe that's it. And basically it's 60 seconds, up to 60 seconds. You can leave your audio commentary post game, during the game, pregame, whatever you like. If you're just thinking about anything Charleston Battery related, send it over. And much like the audio we played today, you might hear it on the podcast. So make sure you get on that. Also, Chucktown Check-In email, chucktowncheckin@gmail.com. Make sure you reach out to us. Any other takeaways from these last two games, Seamus?
Well, I definitely liked seeing Romario, you know, finding his shots, putting the ball in the net. I think those two performances, seeing him get those goals, that's what Battery supporters and, you know, everybody else watching the Battery expected of him. And I think... hopefully he can keep riding that wave, you know, get that hot. You know, a lot of times when you're a striker, you know, once you go through that drought and then comes the flood. So hopefully we'll be seeing much more of that from Romario Williams. Other than that, it's just you need that consistent play on defense. We've talked about that before. We saw them, especially in that first match this week, result. I know Aaron talked about it, not working the ball on the ground through midfield,
Right.
trying to bomb the ball downfield. I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that we were missing Atula Guerra this week. He's been he's played a very key role in that center attacking midfield position. And I think once they get him back healthy, I don't think that injury is anything serious, not from what I've heard. We'll probably see him back this week, and hopefully that will be the missing piece that the Battery needs to get things going back on the attack. So yeah, rough night that first game, but I definitely think they bounced back out of 3 points on the road, which has been a struggle for them lately. So yeah, that's pretty much it, I think.
The Battery will look to extend that unbeaten streak at home against Toronto FC 2 on Saturday, 7:30 on the YouTube. And then they take on Village SC in the Lamar Hunt Open Cup on Wednesday. Seamus, how excited are you for the Open Cup?
Oh, I am super excited, Eric. I got to tell you, I mentioned this on Twitter earlier, but I think this is the most hype and interest I've seen for the opening rounds of the U.S. Open Cup. You usually don't get anybody paying attention, to when these NPSL teams are playing or the PDL teams, but I've seen a lot of buzz on Twitter, and that's really awesome. That's great for the game. It's great to see lower division clubs, getting some attention. I mean, usually you don't really hear about the Open Cup until the third or fourth round when you get into that NASL USL matchup and the eventual well, it's pretty much been USL versus MLS
Right, yeah.
in the next round, but hopefully they'll keep that unbeaten streak up against the NASL. But yeah, I'm really excited about it. The Battery have been a team that have caused a lot of waves in the U.S. Open in the past. Gotta
I was
hope
gonna
to
say
recapture some of
yeah, they've got
that 2008 magic.
exactly. They've got some history in
Yeah.
the Open Cup.
Oh yeah, they've got a history of going deep, and it's been a well, it's been great that they make those runs, but it's always a heartbreaker right at the end. 2008, made their way all the way to the final against DC United, and had a late equalizer disallowed. So hopefully we can see some more magic this year. Maybe pull off a few upsets against some MLS teams. We'll see what happens.
Vote Tim Backus making his name known in the U.S. Open Cup. That'd be a sight for a lot of Atlanta United fans.
For sure.
That'll wrap it up for us. Until next time, again, we'll try to do a recap on Sunday. We'll try to get it out there. We're gonna try to get it out before the U.S. Open match for the Battery, just because we don't want to have to do this two match thing again. That was rough this weekend. We apologize for the late distribution of this podcast, but we got jobs, we got lives, we got things we got to get.
Big games.
Yeah,
It's rough.
we got stuff we got to do before we can get to the fun stuff and do podcasts like these. So appreciate the patience and listen out. More than likely Sunday night, we'll release the next update against Toronto FC 2. So be prepared for that. We've also got big news, Seamus. You're the one that kind of broke the story. Well, not bro well, broke the story for us in Atlanta. I'm sure Charleston guys got it from other places, but take it away, sir.
Yeah, so big news, exciting news. This is that time of year when the Battery announced their big time friendlies against a top European side, and they definitely got an interesting opponent this year. And on July 6th, they will be facing off against Glasgow's own Rangers FC. So the Glasgow's blue and white will be heading down to Charleston this summer, and that's really exciting, at least for me. Growing up a Celtic fan, I know I will be rocking the green and white on July 6th. But very exciting matchup against the well, I mean, are they really the Rangers? Are they more of a zombie Rangers? I mean, do you know what's going on with that,
I don't. I don't.
Eric? Well, I know that the team went into liquidation in 2012, so I think it's pretty much like a,
Well, look, they've made
I
their
guess,
way all the way back, so
yeah, they
they're
did.
no
I'll
joke
give them credit
now.
for that. I'll give them credit for that, and as much banter as I'll give them, just being a Celtic fan, it's definitely good for Scottish football to see Rangers back in SPL, and you'll get to see those classic Rangers Celtic matches. So that's very exciting. Very excited to see them come to Charleston.
Yeah, no, great news. And we are thinking about it'll take some work on it takes some two-way work on us and people in Charleston, but we're going to see if we can't manage to possibly do a road trip up to Charleston.
Oh yeah.
Maybe.
A lot of fun.
And if we can make that happen, then there's a high probability that we will try to do a live show in Charleston. Pre-game, possibly post-game. We'll have to just see how the logistics of everything works. But we definitely want to, you know, because this partnership between Atlanta United and Charleston, we're hoping is one long-term, and two is something that, you know, we can. I'll just say this, and this is kind of, you know, commentary aside from Charleston Battery and Atlanta United, but what Atlanta United has done, at least for someone like me who knew about teams like the Atlanta Silverbacks, I've been to a few of their games, but it's opened the eyes of a lot of people here in terms of the local soccer, how to support local soccer, because to be honest, a lot of people just didn't know. And so that's one thing Charleston Battery has done for a lot of people is allowed them to support a club that, while maybe not local, is part of the plans of their bigger, you know, of their bigger club. So there is that, and so we want to make sure that we, you know, contribute and be part of that community and be part of that, you know, the support for the Battery. And so that's where this hopefully will come in, and hopefully we can get this done. Again, if we manage the road trip, you know, I don't see a problem. I don't see why it wouldn't happen. Getting a live show in Charleston, requires some technical savvy, and we'll see if we can't get it done. But hopefully, with all things going smoothly, we can actually have a live show, and we'll just have a good time.
Yeah, definitely, it'll be a good time, and definitely be happy to show you guys around Chucktown, show you what it's all about down here.
It'd be fun. It'd be fun. Again, thanks for listening, everybody, and until next time, be easy, everybody.
We will sing, but we're